Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kian. Today, we'll be talking about the recently published article by Heinonen et al. Titled, Nitric Oxide, Prostanoids, and Oxygen Consumption in the Human Skeletal Muscle. This article published online January 21st, 2011. My guest today, Editor-in-Chief Bill Stanley, lead author Ilkka Heinonen, and expert Mike Joyner. Bill, Ilkka, Mike, let's get started.
Thanks, Kara. We all know that the nitric oxide, or NO, is a key regulator of skeletal muscle blood flow, both at rest and during exercise. But it's also been suggested that NO regulates muscle oxygen uptake through inhibition of cytochrome oxidase and mitochondrial respiration. And cyclooxygenases, or COX, can also play a role, as prostanoids can act synergistically with NO to regulate blood flow and respiration. However, it hasn't been shown that there's a clear effect of COX or NO on muscle blood flow and oxygen uptake in humans. In human experiments, really in this area, have been limited by the use of the FIC method for assessing muscle blood flow and oxygen consumption. This approach measures the whole limb and is confounded by contributions from inactive muscle and skin and fat. So in the study we're discussing today, this problem was avoided by using oxygen-labeled tracers in muscle imaging with positron emission tomography, or PET. So muscle blood flow here was measured with 15 oxygen-15 labeled water and oxygen gas with oxygen-15. It was inhaled. And NO production and COX were pharmacologically inhibited alone and together, both at rest and during exercise. And what the results show is that inhibition of NO formation enhances resting muscle oxygen uptake in humans, and that combined inhibition of NOS and COX during exercise increase muscle oxygen uptake. Ilkka, what do you see as the main findings and the take-home message of the study?
So thanks, Bill. I think the main take-home message from this paper, by inhibition of nitric oxide in humans, we saw that the skeletal muscle oxygen consumption increases at rest, and there is also some tendency for that during exercise. And also we are confirming those previous studies done in this area, so that when we are studying the skeletal muscle blood flow during exercise, there is no change also here when we measured it muscle specifically.
So Mike, what do you see as the strengths and weaknesses of the study?
Well, I think a couple of things, Bill. First, as you pointed out, the use of these new techniques that can augment, supplement, or maybe are better for addressing certain questions in comparison to the FIC principle and or whole body oxygen uptake measurement. So I think that's a big, big advantage. And I think time will tell how PET fits into all of this because it is not a widely available technique. But I think certainly you can address some very targeted questions, as Ilkka has done. I think the next issue here is a couple of fold. First, this issue about how nitric oxide does or does not affect the mitochondria and might or might not influence oxygen consumption. I think this is the first really clear evidence in humans that NO somehow can facilitate or reduce oxygen consumption for a given workload. And if you block it, then oxygen consumption goes up. So I think that's important because the data with whole body studies and other techniques has been more equivocal, where there was, in fact, strong cellular data or data from reduced animal preparations. So I think all of that is terrific. And then I think, finally, Ilkka's got some very interesting data on how blood flow and metabolism are matched in active muscle, because he's able to get some pretty good measurements of regional blood flow with this technique. So there's a number of strengths to the study.
This is becoming now, I think, really well established that in muscle and cardiac tissue and in skeletal muscle, that nitric oxide just puts the brakes, if you will, on respiration.
I think the important thing to remember is that there's people, certainly my group's done it, and a couple of groups in Scandinavia have given industrial strength NOS inhibitors to humans during whole body exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been unable to really detect big changes in VO2 measured at the mouth. Mm-hmm. And I think now you could argue that's because other muscles are involved or other tissues are contributing to the oxygen consumption, so on and so forth. But I think what Ilka has done by making more targeted measurements in the active muscle, he's shown that the type of intervention you mentioned that is seen in cardiac muscle and in other preparations is also likely operative in humans. And it will be interesting to see, for example, in diseases that are thought to be, quote, deficient, unquote, nitric oxide, like heart failure, diabetes, some of the things Ilka mentioned, whether this response will be absent. Because there is some evidence of that things aren't quite coupled as well, especially in heart failure.
Okay, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I would also say that that's the, like in those, some of those animal studies that have been done previously, it has not been so convincingly shown in every study that had repeated those in vitro findings, and so there is also quite mixed results. But and also in human studies that have been measuring the whole lymph blood flow, that's mm-hmm. also that they have not seen before the changes in oxygen consumption at rest or during exercise. So these but now that we measured these issues more muscle specifically, we could see some differences and increases in oxygen consumption.
Yeah, it's a unique and really beautiful method. What are your future directions?
I'm going to study our cardiac issues maybe now more in detail. If I would continue this topic, it's the what could be the mechanisms, because we have some data already here that we have studied the how is the substrate exchange or the uses. So that could be this fatty acid extraction and consumption, and the how is the glucose uptake, because that area of research, when you inhibit nitric oxide, for instance, I think it's not that not yet so convincingly shown in humans what is the real end result. Because
people have seen opposing results in heart, the removal of NO activity increases glucose uptake, and people have seen the opposite in skeletal muscle. So it's
exactly. Yeah, that's my point. Yeah.
Bill, I think this gets back to something I mentioned earlier, and Ilka's talked about with the cardiac patients or cardiac disease. You know, there's both in diabetes and heart failure, there's this idea that there's metabolic myopathy, and that in fact that's actually what makes a lot of the exercise intolerance in those folks as bad as it is. And you wonder if this is contributing to it, if they don't have enough nitric oxide in their skeletal muscle and they can't use the limited oxygen supply that they have efficiently.
Right. And end up with oxygen wasting due to not enough NO inhibition of respiration. Yep.
And this idea that, you know, they make a bunch of free radicals or an inappropriate amount of free radicals, and that this somehow, this uncoupling might somehow lead to the buildup of metabolites that activate muscle metabolic receptors and so on and so forth. So you could see a situation where there's underperfusion, poor oxygen utilization, a whole bunch of other mitochondrial issues really contributing to the peripheral fatigue in those folks, as well as any cardiovascular limitations.
And the rust formation could be one thing that it could be coupled with this uncoupling.
The other thing that Ilka's done here very well is developed a technique that can, again, look at perfusion heterogeneity in human skeletal muscle. And there's a lot of issues in skeletal muscle that are sort of parallel to ventilation perfusion matching, especially because humans have limited cardiac output and potentially very high demand for skeletal muscle blood flow, sort of a Rao sleeping giant hypothesis. And this technique could help us better understand how flow and metabolism are matched in muscle when you've got to both regulate blood pressure and provide as much flow as possible.
Yeah. In this respect, also we find some evidence for the Salvador Moncada's group has been suggesting that NO could somehow facilitate the oxygen distribution in tissues, so that when we block the NOS system, and especially when we added the cyclooxygenase inhibition, the blood flow heterogeneity in muscle was increased, so that kind of supports also that area of research, that's the flow heterogeneity issues could be affected.
Well, I applaud you for a really excellent paper. And let's see, anything else you want to add? Mike, anything you want to say? Or?
No, not at all, except Ilka did a great job. The only advice I would give to anybody looking to collaborate with our colleagues in Finland would be advised to do it in the summer.
Yeah, good point.
I've been there in the deep. I've been there in the deep winter, and even for people from Minnesota, it's cold.
Yeah, we have now -27 and -Celsius degrees.
Somebody said to me, what's it like to go to Finland? I said, it's like an 18-hour plane ride to Duluth.
But fortunately, we've been doing some heating stuff.
In the sauna. studies.
Yeah, also sauna during the wintertime.
Ilka, Mike, thank you for engaging us in this interesting conversation on this outstanding paper. Kara?
Thanks, Bill. And to our readers, thanks for listening to the AJP Heart and Circ podcast series.